think about graduation Sunday and promotion Sunday, I think back to the many graduations in my time of being youth director that I've been to. I wanted to think and try to number how many I've been to over the number of years that I've been here at this church and at a church in Arizona. And I couldn't even, I go to at least four or five a year, and I've been here for almost 9 years. So you can imagine how many graduations I've set in on. And when I think about graduation speeches, those last moments for maybe a teacher or for a classmate to give some sort of words of knowledge or some sort of encouragement, I always think back to a graduation where I remember the student saying, we've done it, we've made it. They looked back upon everything they had learned and the knowledge they had gained in the 4 years they were at the school, and now we've done it. Let's take on the world. That it was this big accomplishing moment, this graduation from high school. And not to take away from the graduation from high school moment, but in the great scheme of things, graduation is just the tip of the iceberg. The 12 or 13 years you've spent in school, you've done a lot, but really, life has just begun. And you've gained lots of knowledge, and our world talks about the knowledge that we gain. But when we look at the knowledge that we gain in our world, based upon what God's Word says a lot more about wisdom. God's Word says a lot more about gaining wisdom. And for the Jewish people, they held wisdom at a very high regard. That was like the number one goal. And if you think back to the story of Solomon, he could ask God for whatever, and he asked for wisdom. He asked that he would be known as a wise man and that his actions would be wise in ruling his country. And the Bible just speaks so much about this wisdom. In our culture, in the culture we live today, we seek lots of knowledge. And we seek lots of ways to get smarter. I think about the cell phones that we all hold in our pockets. We can have the answer to pretty much any question we want in the matter of about 3 seconds, if you have Wi-Fi. If you don't have Wi-Fi, then it might be 5 or 6. But you can ask Siri or type into Google pretty much anything you want, and you can gain the knowledge of pretty much anything you would like to gain. A couple months ago, I was working on a car, and I don't have a lot of knowledge about cars, so I was able to Google and YouTube and watch videos on how to put an engine back together from experts that were able to do it with no real knowledge of how to put together an engine on the car. For us, as believers, as Christians, and for you guys, as graduating seniors, my heart's desire, and I know our church's heart's desire, would be that you would be people that would be known as people that are wise. Not that you were really smart. Not that you had lots of knowledge, but that you had wisdom. So what is this wisdom that we talk about? And wisdom, if you're taking any notes, maybe a good definition for wisdom for you to write down would be seeing things through the lenses of God and acting correctly because of that understanding. Seeing things through the wisdom of God and acting correctly because of that understanding. So it's being able to look at God's Word, see what it says, and then apply it to my life. When I think of wisdom, a lot of you know that I like animals. Mostly I like to eat animals, but I enjoy wildlife. And I think there's a lot we can learn from wildlife around us. And when I think of wisdom, I think of two kind of contrasting animals. I think of the wise old owl. And the wise old owl is an animal that when he acts, He weighs the consequences of his actions. He looks exactly where he wants to go, and then he maybe gets his dinner. He doesn't waste a lot of energy flying around, soaring in the sky. He knows exactly where he's going to go, how he's going to do it, and then he goes and does it. He acts out of knowledge. And then I think about the squirrel. And for the contrast, and the squirrel, yes, you probably like, you know what? Squirrels are actually really smart. They store it for the winter, this and that. But the squirrel, when I'm driving down the road and it runs in front of my car, is not very wise. That squirrel, I can remember moving here, and we moved from a place that there wasn't wildlife. Anything you were going to hit on the road was going to be someone's dog or cat. And so we moved here, and all of a sudden there's wildlife running in front of the roads, and mostly squirrels. And I think the first year we moved here, I hit 8 squirrels. And the squirrels would run out in front of the car, and then they would stop, and then you would try to slow down, and then they would run back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and you would think, okay, they're off the road, and then they would run back out in front of you and you'd hit them. And time after time, these squirrels, they, even though they were about their business, they weren't calculating the cost of what they were doing, and where they were going. They just were kind of running into the road, doing whatever they would like to do and stopping. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, Jesus says, "But wisdom will be proved right by her deeds." If you remember a couple weeks ago, we looked at this passage, and it's John the Baptist. He sent his disciples to Jesus, and they're asking Jesus, "Are you really the Messiah? Are you really who you say you are?" And Jesus, at the end of his statement, he says, "But wisdom will be proven right by our deeds." Today, we are going to look at the actions of wisdom. And we're going to look at it from the book of James. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in a pew next to you, or we don't have pews anymore, in a seat next to you, a chair next to you, or you probably have it on your phone. But turn to the book of James with me, and just so we're all on the same page for the book of James, this book was written by Jesus' half-brother. This is the half-brother of Jesus, James, writing, and he's writing to Jewish Christians that have been, they've been scattered abroad. They've been kind of spread out, and he's writing to these Christians, and James is just the most practical book. If you would like to know, hey, as a Christian, what should I be doing? What are the actions that I should be taking? Look at the book of James. He gives lots of really practical knowledge, like persevering through trials, like hearing the word and acting on it, like our faith and our deeds and how they're connected. He even tells us what true Christianity is, or true religion is, and taking care of the orphans and widows. And he even talks about controlling our tongue and the things that we say and how they affect how people see our lives and our testimony. Hopefully, you guys have all turned to the book of James now. And this is James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. And we're going to read 13 through 18. James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by their good life, by deeds done in humanity or humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who show peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that it convicts our hearts. Lord, I pray now as we study it a little bit, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, that you would reveal truth to us. And Lord, in the end, that our lives would be different from what we hear, that our actions would be different. Lord, give us your wisdom today. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. James starts this passage in verse 13 with saying, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" And I would like to ask the same question to us. Who is wise and understanding among you? I kind of see it. One person raised their hand. Thanks. I was hoping somebody might. But who is wise and understanding among us? And we probably know that most of us that are wise, we're not the first ones to jump up and say that we're wise. Sorry, Anthony. I planted him. I planted him in the audience to raise his hand. But James is writing. He's writing to these Christians. He says, "Who's wise in understanding among you, in wisdom and understanding among you?" And I could maybe see someone saying, maybe Jim over there is a little wise, or maybe Bob is a little wise. And then he doesn't say, let them show it by how old they are, or how many gray hairs they have, or how much money's in their bank account, or the great job that they have. He says, let them show it by their good lives, by the deeds done in humanity. So he goes on to say, let them show it by their actions. Let them show it by the way that they act, that they are wise. So if we are wise, we are going to act in wisdom. And it's going to be shown by their good life. A wise person is going to have a good life, and is going to be a life that is full of deeds that are honoring to God, that are done in humility. If you remember, again, we looked at Matthew, and he says that Jesus says that a wise person is going to prove it by acting wise. If we act wise, according to James here, our lives are going to be good, and we're going to have good things happening in our lives. After this, James goes on, after this first verse, James goes on to look at two contrasting wisdoms. Two wisdoms that are totally different. And I put in my notes, unwisdom and real wisdom, that James is going to look at here. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, spiritual, and demonic. So James then goes on, and he starts to tell us about this unwisdom, this wisdom that's not really wisdom. If you notice in your Bibles, probably, I know in mine, wisdom is in quotations, because it's not truly wisdom. You guys see that, those quotations around wisdom there? Yeah, most of you, hopefully. This wisdom is the wisdom of the world, and it's not truly wisdom that's from God. And this wisdom is full of envy and selfish ambition. So what is envy? Envy is the feeling of discontent or covetousness with regards to somebody else and advantages that they have, such as success or possessions. So envy, this feeling of discontent because of what somebody else has, or their advantages, or their success or possessions. So James starts out saying that this wisdom that comes, that's not really wisdom, this unwisdom that comes not from heaven but from hell, is full of envy. It's full of envy. And I can remember as a high schooler, a practical example from my life, I was playing basketball. I loved basketball, enjoyed playing basketball, playing on the high school team. And when I was playing basketball, I would go to different parks. Growing up in Southern California, it wasn't like here where there was one park that you could go to. But I'd go to different parks. I think someone told her where I grew up, and she's laughing at me now. I grew up in a really rough area of Southern California, and I would go to these parks, and I would go play basketball at these parks, and these parks were full of guys that maybe had played high school basketball or college basketball. But there was one guy in particular that I always found myself playing with and getting in a game with, and this guy was like 30 years old. And he was 5 foot five. He didn't take care of his body. He smoked and drank and he did all this crazy stuff. But whenever you stepped on the court with him, this guy had this natural ability at 5 foot five to be able to dunk a basketball, to dribble super fast, super quick. And I can remember playing with him over and over and over again and becoming very envious of this guy's skills. It seemed like the game came so effortlessly to him, and I found myself wanting to be like him, wanting to have his skills, wanting to be as gifted as he was, because he obviously didn't care as much as I did, because I worked really hard at the skills that I had, and he just kind of, and I can remember playing in a basketball league alongside of him. He was on a different team, and I can remember one game he got hurt. He wasn't able to play anymore, and I thought, wow, that's the best thing that's ever happened to our team. Because I had become envious of this guy's skills. All of a sudden, he wasn't playing anymore, and it was going to make my team better, but he was hurt. And this envy, I wanted to do anything I could when I stepped on the court to win against him. And I didn't care. I didn't care if it meant that he was hurt. I didn't care if it meant that he didn't feel good or if something happened to him because I was envious. I wonder for us, maybe it's not basketball, probably not, but in our lives, are there people that we're envious of? I think of keeping up with the Joneses across the street. If so-and-so has a new car, do I need to go get a new car? Someone buys a new house or they have new great clothes or whatever. Am I envious? Is there a covetousness? Because I need to be like those people. James says this wisdom, trying to keep up with those people, trying to and wishing ill against those people is not really wisdom at all, but it is wisdom from hell. It is unwisdom. And then he says selfish ambition. So what is selfish ambition? Wanting to make ourselves more powerful, praising ourselves, and making our name greater. When I think of selfish ambition, that's what I think of. And as Christians, what are we supposed to be doing? As Christians, we need to be focused on exalting God, praising His name, and making His kingdom greater. So we can see this contrast here between the two wisdoms, this unwisdom that is full of envy, wanting and wishing ill on somebody else and wanting their advantages, and this selfish ambition, wanting to make myself look better. And we can see this unwisdom in the world around us today. We can see that that's almost what we're taught, to make ourselves more powerful. To do everything we can to further ourselves, to make ourselves greater, to make my name greater. And really, as Christians, we are supposed to be doing the complete opposite. We are supposed to be humble, making God's name greater, furthering His kingdom, making His name great. James says the wisdom that's full of envy is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. If something's earthly, spiritual, and of the devil, or demonic, we should probably stay away from it. We should probably not want those attributes in our lives. We should probably stand clear of this type of wisdom, and we should probably follow the wisdom that is from heaven, and we see that coming up next. Verse 16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there's disorder and every evil practice." I think we see this in our world today. If we took a real look around, if we look at people, groups, and lives that are following the wisdom of the world or this unwisdom that is full of envy and evil practices, we can see where there is disorder. We can see where there's people that are practicing things that are evil. The world's wisdom, this unwisdom, leads to a life that doesn't bring God glory, and it leads to disorder and evil practices. We need to choose the wisdom that's from God. In verse 17, he says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, so we see the contrast there. The first wisdom, the unwisdom from the devil. Now we have this wisdom that comes from heaven, and James then gives us a list. James gives us a few attributes. I don't think that this list that he's given us is every wise action you can do. There's probably other wise actions you can do, but James gives us a list of wise actions, ways that as Christians, if we choose and we desire to bring God glory, that we should be acting. This wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The wisdom that comes from God is completely pure. It's 100% pure. I think of the illustration of having just a little bit of impurity in your water. A little bit of Giardia in your water, or a little bit of something that isn't right in your water, and how it contaminates the whole thing. Something can't be 99% pure. It's either pure or it's not. And we know that the pure, those that choose to live a life that is pure, those that choose to live a life that's going to honor God in their purity, they're going to be blessed, and they're going to see God. For us as Christians, we need to choose to be pure. Whether that's the things that we say, the actions that we do, maybe it's the things that we look at or the relationships that we have. We need to choose to live a life that is pure. The next point that James gives us is this wisdom is peacemaking. It is then peacemaking. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. We live in a world that talks a lot about peace, talks a lot about peacemaking, but we live in a culture and a society where it doesn't seem like there's lots of people living in peace together. It doesn't seem like there's lots of people choosing to be peace-filled. Even when I go on to my Facebook account, and I go on a lot of times to check in on the teenagers, I stalk them a little bit. I want to make sure that they are living pure lives and the things that they're posting online are things that are honoring to God. But I go on to my Facebook account, and I see people that are arguing and fighting amongst each other. I see people that are posting videos even of them fighting with others, like physically fist fighting with people. And we see that the peace, or that the wisdom that comes from God is peace loving. It makes peace. And my question for us is, do we live lives of peace, or does there always seem to be conflict around us? Does there always seem to be conflicts in our relationships, or conflicts with the people that we come in contact with? Maybe conflicts, maybe there's not peace in our marriages. Or maybe for you teenagers, there's not peace when you go to school. There's people that are being picked on, and maybe you're part of that. But do we live these lives of peace because we know that is true and real wisdom that comes from God? The next on the list is it's considerate. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. So if we want to live lives of peace and act, or live lives of wisdom and act in wisdom, the next, it's considerate. It's caring for others. Philippians says, let us live lives of peace. Remember, God's coming soon. Remember, we're only here so long. We're only on the earth so long, and if we call ourselves Christians and we live our lives for Christ, we should be on a mission to make His name great, because remember, the Lord is coming soon. So this peace is considerate. It's considerate to people. Do you think of others' needs before your own? Do you think of somebody else and care for somebody else? As you were caring for yourself, we see where James talks a little bit about that in caring for others and caring for those that can't care for themselves. And I wonder, for us, are our lives considerate? Because we know that that wisdom is wisdom that comes from heaven and from God. The next is that it's submissive. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself in humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble." For us, do we live lives where we submit to our authorities, where we submit to our elders? For you graduates, probably a lot of you are just getting into starting your careers or starting to work. Maybe not your careers, but you're starting to get jobs. You're looking for jobs. You're wanting jobs. And you're going to have somebody that's going to be an authority over you, that's going to be telling you what to do. And you probably will always have somebody in some ways that's going to be telling you what to do. And are you willing to submit to those that are in authority over you? In the church, we have elders. In the church, we elect elders. Do we submit to them? Do we trust what they say? Do we respect the authority that God's given to them? Because God gives them some very clear things that they are supposed to be doing as their elders, and do we trust them and submit to them? If we are going to be wise, if we are going to follow and act on this godly wisdom, this wisdom that is from God, we need to be willing to submit ourselves to those in authority over us and respect them. The next on the list here is it's full of mercy. It is full of mercy. Luke chapter 6, verse 36, it says, "Be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful." So what is mercy? How has our Heavenly Father been merciful to us? He's been merciful to us by not giving us what we deserve. We all are sinners. We all mess up on a daily basis. We all miss the mark and choose to honor ourselves above honoring God. And God has been merciful on us by not giving us the right punishment we deserve. Are we willing to be merciful on others? Are we willing to act on this wisdom and be merciful to the people that are around us? To be merciful to maybe to the people that are hard to deal with. We all probably have some of those. To not give them exactly what they deserve. Actually, this week I was driving, and we were like three cars behind this motorcycle, and someone was tailing right behind the motorcycle. And Bob, I see out there, who's a motorcycle rider. That's kind of a bad deal on a motorcycle to have someone right behind you. And this motorcycle, instead of just pulling over, getting out of the guy's way, decided to slam on his brakes in the middle of the road. And as he slammed on his brakes in the middle of the road, he almost caused the three-car pileup behind him to give this guy that was tailing him what he deserved in his mind. He then got off his bike and started banging on the windows and all that stuff. And my family and I just went right on by. Didn't want to have anything to do with that. But this motorcycle rider wasn't willing to give any type of mercy to this guy. He was willing to give them exactly what he deserved. And if we are going to be people and teenagers and graduates that are going to be full of wisdom and acting on the wisdom of God, we need to be willing to exercise mercy in our lives. The next on the list is it's full of good fruit. Matthew 7, verse 17, it says, likewise, every tree bears fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. So we see in Matthew where he says that you're going to bear fruit in your lives. Your lives are going to be full of fruit. Is it going to be good fruit? Fruit that is pleasing to God? Is it going to be a life that is lived for Him, that acts in wisdom and is pleasing to Him? Or is it going to bear bad fruit? Is it going to bear the fruit that is not from heaven? And the way that it's going to do that, the way that our lives are going to bear fruit that is not from heaven, is by us not acting in a way that acts out the wisdom that is from God. So our lives are to bear good fruit. It's going to be one or two, either good or bad. Hopefully, we choose to act in wisdom and bear the fruit that is good, that is from God. And then it says that it is impartial and sincere. That the wisdom that comes from God is impartial and sincere. John, or 1 John 4, verse 20 says, whoever claims to love God and hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love his brother and sister whom he sees cannot love God whom he can't see. So this wisdom is impartial and sincere. When I think of sincere, I think of, can I trust what you're saying? Can I trust what comes out of your mouth? Is it the truth? Are you really telling me the truth? Are you really acting in a way that is sincere because you love that person, because you care for that person? Are you acting in a way that's almost two-faced, that's about our own selfish ambition? And James says that this wisdom that's from God, that is not from this earth, is impartial and is sincere. That in the way he deals with people, he shows them love. Because if we can't love and act impartial and sincere with other people, how are we going to do that with God? Are our lives really sincere when it comes to our relationships with him? He treats everyone fair. The last, in verse 18, it says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And in verse 18, I really believe connects with chapter 4. It is the connecting point, and really we could almost move chapter 4 up to 17. But a peacemaker who sows in peace raises a harvest of righteousness. Why do I believe that it connects with chapter 4? Because the first question in chapter 4 says, who fights and quarrels among you? So someone who is full of peace, someone who is a peacemaker, is going to sow a righteousness, or a righteous harvest of peace. Are our lives full of peace, or are there fights and quarrels among you? For us as believers, as for you graduates, in your lives, are you acting wise? I want to take some time and evaluate our lives. Evaluate, what do our lives look like? Do our lives look more like the wisdom of this world? The wisdom that it says is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil? Or do our lives look more like the wisdom that's from God? Hopefully we can answer and say that our lives look more like the wisdom that's from heaven. That our lives are pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, merciful, full of good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Hopefully, that's what our lives look like today. And if they don't, the good news is we have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who forgives us, who then also gives us wisdom to then live our lives and act in a way that brings Him glory. Thinking back to the owl and the squirrel, are our actions showing that we're wise? Are our actions showing that we have gained wisdom from what God's Word says and acting it out and following it out in our lives? And my prayer is that we can all say that we are gaining wisdom from God's Word and our lives are matching up. our lives are looking more and more like Christ. And for you graduates, for you high schoolers, as you are leaving and going off to college, my prayer and my hope is that your lives are acting in wisdom. There's going to be lots of choices that you're going to make over the next number of years. There's going to be lots of new things to try and do. And I pray and I hope that your lives act in a way of wisdom. And for us as a church body, my hope is that we will be praying for our graduates. They would act in wisdom, that they would show their wisdom in the way they act. And the good or the bad news is that we'll be able to see if people are acting in wisdom, whether they're us or not, by their good lives, by the way that God is working in their lives. Every year, I get to, at the end of our sermon, I ask a question. I ask for us to speak some truth and wisdom into our teenagers. And I'm not going to ask for that today, but what I ask you is that you would find one of our graduates and share with them a wise action that they could do. As they go off to college, as they enter the work field, share with them maybe it's a wise action you've seen somebody else do. Maybe it's a wise action that you did yourself. But share with them from some of the wisdom you've gained, speak into their lives, and share with them a wise action that they can do that would be bringing God glory. I want to call those seniors forward that were here before. And also the elders too, if you would come forward. And we're going to pray for our seniors now. They're on their way entering into college or entering the work field. And we want to pray that they would act in a way that they would show the wisdom that they've gained from being at this church. That they would act in a way that was wise and in a way that brings God glory. So let's pray. Dave, would you start us out?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for letting us spend these early years with these students, Father. We thank you. We thank for their smiles and their willingness to participate in what's been going on here. Between our Bible church. So we lift them up to you, Father. We pray for wisdom, as Noah has spoken to so much today, Father. We pray for the wisdom to know what's right and what's wrong, to check your word against the new things that they hear, Father. We know that as much as we love them and care for them, and as much as you love them and care for them, Satan is getting ready to set a path that will cloud their thoughts, that will give them new ideas. Father, there'll be new people to experience that don't have their walk with you as their number one priority in life. Father, so we pray that you give them the wisdom to seek out friends and new mentors that will guide them in a path that grows their faith in you, that will cause them to pursue you, Father, or something.
Father God, we pray for these students that are graduating this month, and Lord God, I pray that you would draw them to yourself, into your holy word, and that they